I hope that you had an awesome week. I hope that you're enjoying your Friday evening. I hope that you're somewhere safe. And I hope that you're in a good space because I love you and I want the best for you. Okay? Okay. Great. All right. So now let's get to the fun stuff. I've had a bit of sugar. And I've been cutting back on my sugar intake because of hot flashes. Yeah. And so I had a little sugar today. Just 3 minutes ago. So a sister's kind of happy. I'm kind of giddy. But anyway, I'm going to work through it. So I'm going to keep laughing and keep smiling. Keep bringing you joy. And we're going to have a good show. Okay? First of all, let's go ahead and welcome everyone into the room. Hello, beauty. How are you, darling?
Hello. I am wonderful. How are you?
I am great. I don't know what happened to Sling, but hopefully she will show up. You know.
I'm sure she'll be here.
Yeah, I'm sure she will. Maybe she's out enjoying her Friday. It could happen. It could definitely happen.
Absolutely.
So we're going to do a few announcements, and then we're going to dive deep into the show. But first of all, Bea, how are you? Like, how was your week? How was everything going?
My week was interesting, but good. I kept myself very busy. Today was a quiet day. I kind of relaxed and rejuvenated because I was running all week. One of my nieces had a birthday on Thursday, and we had a great dinner at this restaurant out here in Melrose, actually, called Bobby C's. It's run by a friend of mine from school named Julie Crowley. And every time we go there, for whatever the celebration is, it's always a fantastic time. And she's just amazing. Yeah, so that was Thursday. Otherwise, this week, I got to spend time with friends and did some more cleaning, which I don't know about anybody else, but I could do without that. And just hung out with my puppy, Lulu. That's about it.
Puppy Lulu. Hey, Lulu.
For those of you who don't know, Lulu is my pama poo.
Yes. Seriously looking, and I don't know if you saw my post on Facebook a couple of days ago or last week sometime, but I'm in the market of trying to adopt myself a puppy.
Yay.
I want a fur baby, but I'm looking for a fur baby that is hypoallergenic because I have really bad allergies.
Well, actually, Lulu is hypoallergenic. So I know that poodles are one of the animals you can get. Yes.
That's what I've heard.
And she's a Pomeranian poodle mix.
Oh, wow.
And her hair is almost like human hair.
Yeah, I would think that those, like, little fur babies with long hair like that, I didn't know that they were hypoallergenic.
Yeah,
I know one.
It depends on the dog.
Yeah. I know one thing people were telling me on my post on Facebook. They said, don't get a chihuahua. Get a Taco Bell.
See, I have to disagree with that. Because I had a chihuahua for 13 years named Patches. And he is the first dog I ever got, and he completely changed my life.
Oh.
Everybody loves pictures. I think his picture's somewhere in China, because when I was living in Hawaii, a lot of people would take his picture. But I know that some chihuahuas can be difficult, but I never had a problem with him.
Some of them are. I had a friend whose mother had one, and that poor dog, they just barked at everybody and everything. Mm. It doesn't matter. Someone could be walking down the street, and she would make her way to the door and just stand there and just bark like crazy. And I had the biggest fear of dogs for the longest time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when I was little, this dog in the neighborhood, he tried to bite me.
Oh.
Yeah, and come to find out, the dog was had rabies.
It went
mad, you know. It went rabid. And so I was coming out of my grandmother's house trying to go home because we lived, like, my grandmother lived across the street from us. And it was a black dog. I don't remember what kind of dog it was. It was just a big dog. And it had me cornered in the yard. And every time I moved, it would move small. And so I was a little girl. So from then on, I had the biggest fear of dogs. And my friend's mother and this Chihuahua kind of helped me get over my fear of dogs, because every time that I would go see my friend and his mother was there, she was ill and she started living with my friend. She would never leave me alone. She would always come. She would know that I was coming, and she would stand at the door and wait, and then she would run all around, and she would just, you know, I would be up there with my friend and his mom, and one time I went to sleep and the dog curled up beside me and went to sleep beside me, and I woke up and she was licking my face, and I was like, ew, dog. And that's what kind of broke my fear of dogs.
What a great story. Chihuahuas are very affectionate. They are very affectionate. Like I said, it depends on which one you get. And I'm pretty sure that if you were, you know, in a room full of Chihuahuas, you'd know which one would fit you.
Yeah.
They have great personalities.
That's true.
You don't have to guess what they're thinking. And they can be a little stubborn sometimes, but not in a bad way.
Oh, okay. Well.
So I'm cheering for the Chihuahua. That you get a Chihuahua, but there are so many dogs to choose from, and you can buy books on different breeds. You can also buy a book that has many breeds, or go to the library, or go online.
I've been looking online.
You find out about the disposition of the dog. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been looking online, and I was actually looking at a Shih Tzu.
A what?
A Shih Tzu.
Oh, a Shih Tzu.
Mm-hmm.
They're adorable.
They are, and I want a dress. But you know what? My favorite dog, if I ever, like I said, I used to tell Michael, if we ever, because he always wanted to have a dog. And I was like, no way, Jose. And but if I ever got a dog, the dog that I want is a corgi, because it has, like, the fattest little butt.
Yes, it does. And they are adorable. Great personalities also.
Okay. Yeah.
Queen Elizabeth is the one that started corgis.
Yes. And now I'm watching Queen Charlotte. And
okay.
Yeah, I've watched two episodes so far, and watching Yeah, and so the Pomeranians called it the farm bunny.
Yeah.
And
that
was
one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah. And the poor dog was just like, really? You know, you can look at the little puppy and was like,
huh? Exactly. Born rabbit. That was the best.
Yeah.
I'm glad you started watching it, though. That is a fantastic show.
Yeah, it
I'm sorry
it
that
really
it ended.
Is. Yeah. I have everyone saying, how can you watch that and you didn't watch Bridgerton? And I'm like, I don't know. And then my best friend, she told me, she was like, I can't believe you don't like Bridgerton. And I was like, I don't. And she's like, why? I was like, I don't know. Why should I like it? I mean, I just can't believe it because you're so extra. Oh?
Yeah, you should just take that as a compliment.
That's what she said. She's like, no, I mean it in the best way possible. Really, I do. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
I was surprised you told me that you didn't like it either.
Like I told my friend, I was like, I'm not a period, like that Elizabethan kind of period piece kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more of a the flappers, the 1920s and the 40s.
Okay.
Yeah, that's more of my thing, you know. Because, like I was telling her, every year for Halloween, every time someone says, oh, we're going to have a Halloween party, and I think, oh, I should go, I always want to dress up as a flapper.
You have never... the seat of a flapper. You got that seat.
Yeah, that's what I said, too.
It fits you. Maybe you're supposed to be born in that time.
Say that last part again.
I said, maybe you were supposed to be born in that time.
I don't know. It's like there are so many time periods that I feel like I should have been born in. One of my favorite time periods were the 70s. Though I was born in the 70s. I was born in 77. But I think that I should have been living in the 70s because I am so old. Like,
you mean like old spirit?
Yeah, old spirit type. But then I also think, like, you know how you have the 60s when everything was about the modern times, and you remember that movie, oh god, I'm dating myself, but it's okay, that movie Auntie Mame.
No, I don't think I've ever seen that one.
It was this movie called Auntie Mame where she was rich and she lived in New York and it was in the 60s. And she was an older lady and she was taking care of her nephew. And I have to find it and tell you about it, but so you can watch it. But Auntie Mame, she was this jet-setting auntie that went everywhere, but she lived in the 50s, early 60s, somewhere around in there. But it was that modern era where everything was modern, you know, the furniture and the houses and everything was modern. You had all these space age, like it was around the time that we were going to space and all that stuff. And so everyone's aesthetic was, you know, the lava lamps and the funny lines, but everything was straight. And they had straight lines, but they were like, everything was askew, you know?
I do know what you're saying, yeah.
Well,
I've always said that I should be in the, I was, should have been born earlier in the 60s. I was born in the 60s, late 60s, but I missed the whole hippie phase, which
I clearly
should have been there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying,
so
too, about the 70s, because I'm so, I don't want to say radical, but I'm
There's
radical.
Nothing wrong with radical.
I am in my own way. I am radical. Very outspoken. Power to the people. You know, that kind of thing, the standing up for those that are voiceless, you know, or don't have the ability to stand up for themselves. They don't have the voice to stand up for themselves. I'm that person. I did that today, as a matter of fact. But anyway.
What happened today? What happened today?
Well.
Okay. Back to the hippies.
No, it wasn't a bad thing. I don't think it was a bad thing. But sometimes you have to say things to wake people up and get their attention. And sometimes if a person doesn't really know, if they don't really know about a situation or how it affects you or how you know, they can't be empathetic and have a clear idea. So all that to say, there was an event that happened last month, and it was for Black women. It was a self-care type of event. It seemed very lovely. It was something that I wanted to really participate in. And it was about self-care and all that stuff that we as women, especially Black women, need to learn more about. Like, self-care is more than going to get your nails done, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that. So I emailed the event organizer. First, I left a message on the board of the event, and no one said anything. I had to hunt for the email address. I found the email address, and then I emailed her, and I asked her, because as a woman of size and also as a woman that is disabled, because in my show title, it tells you that I am a plus-size woman and that Night Talks with Sasha is from a plus-size woman's point of view. I don't hide that. And so I asked her, you know, was this, though a lot of people don't like this term, fat friendly. I don't, using the word fat doesn't hold the same power for me as it does for some people. And I've had to, I fought hard to overcome that stigma with myself of getting my feelings hurt when someone would call me fat. So I took the power away from it. So I asked her, was this a fat-friendly disabled event? She said no. And
no?
I was like, that it was not a it wasn't a disabled event. And so I tried to email her back and explain to her, you know, she's like, I don't think that this will work for you. So I tried to email her back to explain to her, you know, understand what you're saying, but I know more than you because I do this every day. You know what
right.
I mean?
Good for
and
you for
so,
saying something.
Huh?
I said good for you for saying something.
Yeah, and so she never emailed me back. And today I saw where she had put out under the event on my notifications on Facebook about how awesome the event was and that it turned out great and the energy was high. And I was glad of that for her. And in my response, I said that. I said that I was glad that your event turned out really great. And I'm glad that the energy was really high. And I'm glad that there was so much joy that were felt by the women of the diaspora. But
mm-hmm.
I hope that next year when you do it, that you include or you have a space to include those that are disabled. It does not feel good. Like, I was saddened that my sisters of the diaspora would make me feel othered. And that ableism in the Black community really needs to end. There is enough that we have to deal with as Black folk without us as Black folk making someone feel othered simply because they are disabled or other.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so I shared that and I told her, you know, I said, I'm not trying to belittle you or even specify your name. I'm just playing. I can say the word. There's a TikTok video that went by with this lady trying to spell those words wrong. But I told her that I wasn't trying to belittle her or rag on her, you know. It's just
right.
that if I'm going to speak out against other establishments, then I have to speak out about ours too.
Right.
So, you know, and I hope that next year you could, you know, be more inclusive. So, that wasn't bad. I didn't curse.
No,
I've gotten better
at
that. Yeah, I
think you did very well. That was great. It is disappointing, though. It is very disappointing.
It was. And she actually has responded. And I didn't get a chance to see what she said, but I will. And I'll keep everybody updated about it. And I would really, you know, if you don't know and you have a hard time figuring out if your events or, and this is to all the event organizers that may be doing an event and you want to make that event inclusive for those that are larger in size and for those that may be disabled, get some of those people on your board. Like,
absolutely.
Consult with those people of the community. Consult with larger size men and women of the fat community, though. Again, they don't always like that, but and also consult with those that are disabled, because disabled people know how to work the system and know how to, that didn't come out right. Not work the system, but how to maneuver is the word I should say. They know how to maneuver through hardships and issues that may arise. You know, so if you want your, it's It's so ridiculous to me that we're still having to have these conversations where, oh, if you want to know what it's like to be in the Black community or talk to Black women, well, talk to Black women. If you want to know what it's like being in the community, if you want to have an inclusive event, talk to those people that know what it feels like to be othered. That's just like I was reading the other day about this guy who was in Canada. His name is Andrew Garza. And he's in a wheelchair, and he is severely disabled, and but he's also queer, and he was saying how this is Pride Month, but there are so many establishments that do not have accessibility for everyone in the queer community. And I'm thinking, are you so serious? Damn, I got tongue tied.
Well, you would expect the community to be a little bit more progressive. You
would.
But I had the same problem in Hawaii, actually. And it's not a problem. It was fixed easily, but it was during Pride Month, and they were printing out flyers for a film event that was going on there. And it was for the LGBTIQ plus community, but they only did the L, G, and the T. They left out the Bs, the bisexuals. And I was on the committee, so of course I had to speak up the same way you did and said, you know, my community is not being represented in this. I mean, I know you can't put every community out there, but with a B, an LGBT, like, we should be presented also. So they did go back and do another flyer, which was fantastic. They did take care of it right away because they recognized, you know, the problem. But it's surprising that you have to speak up on these things still.
It is. It is surprising, but it's not. Honestly, it's
right.
Not.
Right.
It's really not. Especially when it calls for accessibility for larger people. Because a lot of people assume that if you say that you are fat and disabled, well, your disability is because you're fat. And I have had to correct many of people, no, I was disabled before I became fat. Because I haven't always been fat. But I have always been disabled. I was a child born with a disability. So, you know, having to constantly battle between those things, it gets tiring. It really gets tiring. Because
I was just
going to
say, it makes it exhausting.
Yeah, it's like, I'm just tired of this ish. And then you realize that if you don't do it, who else is?
Right.
But that's why I want to get, I'm in this group on Facebook called Juicy Peaches. And so the Juicy Peaches is for SSBBWs, and for those that don't understand what that subculture nomenclature means, it is you have BBWs and you have SBBWs. BBWs are big, beautiful women. SSBBWs are supersized, big, beautiful women. A lot of people are trying to get away in the supersized community a lot of people are trying to get away from the SSBBW nomenclature because it is riddled with fetishism. And a lot of women do not want to be identified as SSBBW because of the sex work that is often attributed to that nomenclature of women when it comes to those women. So I myself, I don't see anything wrong with sex workers. I support sex workers. I think that sex workers should be unionized because when you get to be 60 years old or God forbid, if you get sick and something happens, all the time that you have spent working, because it is a job, and I'm talking about prostitution. Let's just call a thing a thing. I'm one of these people that sugarcoats and sidesteps things. I think if you're going to talk about things, you need to call them what they are. So I'm the auntie that is going to tell your baby the real name of their body part, not a poo-poo, not a pee-pee. That is your vagina. That is your penis.
Exactly.
Those are your
testicles. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I mean, because they need to know, you know, that's a whole nother conversation. But
yeah, that is a whole nother conversation.
But I think that, you know, sex workers should have a union and they should be supported and they should have the ability that when they decide that they want to stop working, they have some money that they've put in and, you know, so that they can get retirement because it is a job. Now, is it, you know, they're not the underbelly of the society. I don't believe that they are, but that's just me. But anyway.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
As long as they're ahead of the game and they're safe, then that's your business. What you choose to do with your life is your business.
Exactly.
It's just unfortunate that's another place where the government feels like it's okay to step in.
I agree. I totally agree. Hello, Fling.
Hello. Sorry I'm late. Had a family emergency.
Hey, Miss Fling. I hope everything's okay.
Yeah, just a little bit of disappointment, but it'll be. I'll tell y'all about it later.
Okay.
I do need a round table.
All right. We'll have a discussion afterwards.
But I am here, and what did I possibly miss?
Oh, Lord. But it's okay. We only have a little time left. But I was supposed to make the announcements. Well, first of all, I was telling Beauty that I'm thinking of getting a puppy. I'm becoming a fur mama.
Yay.
Aww.
And so I need somebody to take care of. I do. Like, I miss taking care of Michael. I miss that. So
this
I need to pour.
I need to
pour all this, because, like, today, oh, my God, today, y'all, I was talking to, like, my little crush inboxed me. He was like, hey, how you doing, da-da-da-da-da, and I caught myself saying to this man, have you eaten today?
No, you didn't.
I almost did.
Oh, my goodness. You are a nurturer, though. That is one of your greatest qualities. But,
I am.
Yeah.
Have you eaten today?
Huh?
Have you eaten today?
I deleted it. I caught it before I sent it, and I deleted it.
That could have been a deep conversation.
No, that was a conversation that didn't
happen. Wow, that he said, I got something for you to eat today. You got something for me to eat? That could lead to a whole new avenue.
That did not need that. No. No. I've come to terms with the fact that I'm not ready for that just yet. And I appreciate the fact that even though I may say some off-the-wall shit to him, he is a gentleman, and he does not pursue it. He's like, ooh, you're a good shit talker. I like that. So, I was like, yeah, I know. It's bad when you can blush through the computer. Hey, I gotta get a grill. Oh, my God. Let me get me a dog.
Girl, you need puppies.
For all that extra love into your fur baby.
Yep.
Exactly. I need like 3 or 4.
Yep.
Fur babies. But yeah.
They do change your life. They do change your life.
Yes. So I have heard. So I'm definitely going to look into that. Okay. So I was supposed to be making announcements, and then we went to a whole nother left field somewhere.
We still did. I don't even know how we got there.
I don't either, but we did. Oh, well. That's okay. I'll make the announcements. I'll try to give myself enough time to make them at the end of the show. What we were supposed to be talking about was doing a six-month checkup. It is the sixth month of the year, and I thought that, I don't know, do y'all ever make, I stop making New Year's resolutions, but I do make specific goals for myself for the year, and I was just wondering, do you ladies do the same thing? And do you feel comfortable talking about them? Because you don't have
to. Yep.
Okay. Well, let's get into it. Let's do this. So, who wants to go first? Go ahead.
For me, we do it every year.
Uh-huh.
We do determination in Buddhism for the year. And what your goals are, and try to make them happen no matter what. And so far, I am making mine happen with my health and my new job. And also, to my communication skills, me being able to get out the house more and talk to people more and develop other relationships. And to actually make friends.
Aww.
Which is going to be a big struggle for me because I have trust issues. So it's going to be, I'm working on it.
They are attainable.
Yeah, they are. You know, because I have issues with rejection and I have, you know, issues with, you make new friends and you got to pay attention to them and talk to them all the time. And I'm not a very good communicator. I can't talk every day. I can't be around people every day. So that's another thing I got to work on, too, is being more accommodating to be a friend. I'm a good friend, but I'm not a talk-to-you-everyday friend or see-you-everyday friend or go places like that friend. I'm like a silent partner in the business.
I think that's fine. You just have to... you have to find your tribe. Like, there are people like that, you know, that are where you don't have to talk to. I realize that I'm not that friend. Like, you gotta talk to me. And I have no problem now saying that. Like, we don't have to talk like 3, 4, 5 hours every day. We don't even have to talk 20 minutes, but a check-in. So me and my best friend do that. And then when I am really depressed, I have a tendency to isolate. I self-isolate, and I won't talk to anyone. And my best friend was like, uh-uh, bitch. I don't appreciate that because I'm too far away and I don't know what's wrong with you. You don't have to talk to me all the time. I understand. But a check-in is better than nothing. And I realized, and I appreciate her saying that, and I told her that, you know. And so I'm the same way. I'm that friend.
Yeah. I'm getting better. I'm gonna get better. I mean, I have to get better because you can't spread. We say spread COVID roots and world peace if you can't talk to people. So I do. I get busted a lot about it. Like, people don't get me because of that fact. I'm like, I'm a good friend though. I mean, I really am. But you just don't talk. You just go MIA. You don't know if you're alive or dead. And I'm like, sometimes I just don't feel like talking. Sometimes I just don't. I have learned to love myself and be okay with myself and have the conversations with myself. I've gotten used to that. So now I got to get out of the habit so that I can help people because I do have a lot to say. But I just think it more than I say it. And so a lot of people don't know how to get me. They don't know how to take me. But you got to get used to it.
Yeah.
I want to commend both of you because both of you know exactly what you want and need, which a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
You know
what
you're capable of.
Well,
you know what your boundaries are.
Face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It
can be
you
a fucking face when you realize it.
Yep. But you realized it.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people just
go
through life without recognition. Yeah.
Yeah,
because once I realized that I was a problem with a lot of stuff, once I realized that, it was like, oh, shit. Fuck. Now I do it all the time. Like, what could I have done to the future situation? What could I have said and what can I say? And before I talk to people now, I think about how can I say this in a strong way, but in a respectful way, because it's ways that you tell people things and ways that you say things to people to actually have dialogue or questions that you ask. Because we thought about, you have to be a person that commands respect and gives respect. You have to be that kind of person, or else you're not going to make it in this world. You're going to either be an asshole, you're going to be alone, or you can be a person that gives to the community and actually grows with it. And I'd rather have love than to have fear and respect instead. So that way, you know where you are with people. Because they're just respecting you because they can fuck you over any time.
Yep.
So I
want to
be a better person.
Exactly.
Well, I'm kind of a combination of the two of you. Where I am very much to myself also, which is hard to believe because I do talk a lot. the quiet state of my side, a bit of an introvert. So I get nervous in crowds. But at the same time, I want my friends to be in touch with me so that I know that they're okay. And I had to learn over the years that that meant that I needed to do that in return. Because I used to get frustrated, especially with, like, my mom. I was, like, 30 years old, and she still asked me to call her when I get home. And I'm like, I'm over 30.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. And when I realized... Your mother and your father are always going to be your mother or your father, and they are always going to worry. Mm-hmm. So I took that and placed it on my friendships, too, because I call them my tribe also. I have this small group of friends that we check on each other, and we know that we can call each other when there's something wrong, and, you know, if we don't hear anything from each other, we check in. So it's kind of nice. But, yeah, that is something that I had to learn, too. I had to learn that, too. is that it has to be reciprocated.
Yeah, once you accept it, it's nice. Yeah.
Right.
Before you don't even think about how nice it is, but then when you really need it, like, oh, these people really do, they fuck at me because they love me, they care about me, so I got to at least give them that much, you know,
yep.
Say that, see, somebody actually cares about you. When you say nobody loves me, that's a lie, because you got people that fuss at you every day when you don't call them and let them know you're alive.
They could ignore you,
yeah.
they won't. So relationships at work, whether it's partners or friends or family.
Exactly.
There's always a giving.
Yeah, you realize how selfish you've been. And then sometimes when you're depressed, you don't think about how selfish you're being. You just think about, I just need this peace. I just need to find something, but you don't think about it. But when you're not depressed, that's something that I keep when I'm not in depression. That's something I keep really close. I know I can call myself a liar when I think that nobody cares about you. Don't give a fuck about you. I can say that's a lie. I know that's all. That racing thought is a lie. Because they call me and they let me know. If I don't hear from my friend Pat, she'll hear from me in like 2 days, she wants to know, Erica, you know, I need you to call me and let me know that you're okay.
Yep.
What's happening, blah, blah, blah. Whether something's happening or not, I feel bad because I'm like, I'm sorry, Pat. I'm so sorry that I put you through that.
Yep.
But, you know, you're hurting somebody when you're not.
Yep.
Yeah, but I can't always, when I'm depressed, I can't always reach out.
No.
So what I've done is I've developed a way of telling my friends that I'm having a hard time and that it may be a few days before they hear from me, and I tell them that I'm in my cocoon.
Okay.
And a couple of my friends will say, well, contact me when you're a butterfly. And I appreciate that, but sometimes I just need to be off by myself in a corner, feeling my feels, dealing with them, and then
listen to
me. I can't deal with anybody else's feels at that time. So
exactly.
It's just easy for me to separate myself. And I don't mean to do it to eliminate the possibility of them helping me, because I know that some people, that's their concern too. Well, if you were depressed, you should have called. I could have, you know, talked. And it's like some days I just can't talk. And I can't even tell you why I'm not talking.
You can't form words. You can't think about stuff.
Right. So I just developed my cocoon. I tell them I'm in my cocoon, and they know that I'm going through something, but I'm going to be okay, and that they'll hear from me in a few days.
And sometimes they'll just text back, I love you. You know, some of my friends are, I love you so much. You're in my heart. You know, if you don't feel like talking, you know, if they don't know, even if I don't answer, they'll text back, I love you. That's why I love you guys are not my friends. You're my family. I have a section now that I have separated. That if you're my friend, that means that if you're gone, I'm not going to give a care. I'm not going to worry about that much. But if you're my family, then I'm going to care. I'm going to look for you. I'm going to find you. I'm going to figure something out. And I'm always going to, if you're gone for 10 years, you can text me back. I'm still going to, I love you. I still love you. You're still here. So it's a big separate thing that people are so very rare that you can find in your lifetime, especially if you're a person with depression. If you can say someone's your family and you love them, that means something. That really says something.
Yeah,
and being an introvert, that says something too, because these people can still break through that force field that you have around yourself. As introverts, we have a force field that you gotta really get in there. You really gotta figure a way to get in there to stick in there. So that says something, and you don't want to lose those people.
Yeah.
No, and then the last, you know, since my cancer diagnosis and since the passing of Michael, my best friend, when I got the news that of my cancer diagnosis, you know, she was the first, she said, well, when you find out, tell me first. And so she was the first person that I called when I found out. And ever since then, she has been that person. And I tell her, you know, we were talking, and when I disappear, because that's what I do, I disappear. I usually, my depression comes and I don't sleep. So I will tell her I'm taking something to go to sleep. And when I wake up in a day or so, because usually that's when it is, then I'll call. And that's what I say to her. And it's the truth, but I do that now because I didn't used to. You know, just like y'all said, I used to just disappear and didn't think and tell myself that nobody loved me. Nobody cared. Nobody would come and see about me. And that was so untrue. So forever. That was such a lie from the enemy of depression. But,
yeah, it will tell you, it will haunt you, it will show you everything horrible
everything.
In your life.
Yeah.
It sucks because I have short-term memory loss, but I remember every bad thing that's ever happened to me. Those are things that come in flurries. And it's like, damn, why I can't remember my fifth birthday, but I can remember this shit that happened in 1982. I'm like, well, damn, you know, and it gets bad. But throughout my life, I've had two people that look for me. This one girl, our birthdays are on the same day. We're both cancers. We're both depression and everything. She looked for me for years. And she finally found me on Facebook 1 year. And I have not lost her since. And my bestie Tina, my sister bestie Tina, she found me. She hunted me down. And the first thing she did after me not talking to her for like 15, 20 years was cuss me out. Like, bitch, what the fuck you saying? I've been looking for you for years. I'm like, wow. And it was like, wow, somebody actually looked for me? Definitely you actually realize that your mind's been lying to you for years, that you're worth something. Because certain people hunt you down when they can't find you.
Yep.
So that's like a big lift. That's a big lift on your heart.
It is. It really is. And having someone to step in for you to do things has really, like I told y'all before, my dad was in a nursing home. And so my friend, she took over calling my dad. She put it on her calendar to call my dad every other Sunday for me, to check on him, to talk to him, to see how he was doing. And she did that for me because I was crying to her one day telling her, I need to see about my dad. I haven't talked to him in weeks. I hadn't talked to him in a long time. And she was like, my counselor was like, is there somebody that can take some of this off of you? And so I sat down and I talked to my friend Erica and I said, will you help me? That's a friend.
That's a good friend.
Because she's never met my dad.
That's a friendship, dude.
She never laid eyes on him, but she called him. Up until the day he died, she would, and it was not something where she was like, oh, I gotta call your dad. She wouldn't do that. She wouldn't tell me a lot of times unless I asked. And that got to a point where I just forgot that she was doing it or thought that, well, maybe she wasn't. And she's like, I still call him. I'll call your dad for you. I know you probably think I don't, but I do. And
those are awesome. That's awesome. That's so awesome.
Like,
it's amazing.
And I tell her, like,
yeah,
you
that's
know.
Right, that's family for you.
That's family. Like, and I told her, tell her every time I've gotten there where I want to give people their flowers now. That means so much to me. Whenever I know y'all have seen when I send stuff on Facebook, I'll do the heart, the flowers, and whatever. That's my signature. That's me telling you, I'm giving you your flowers. I'm giving you your love now. And I tell my best friend, wherever I am, my thing for her, I say to her every time is, wherever I am, you have a place. Like, I don't care wherever I go. I don't care. Wherever I move to, there's always going to be room for her. And that also means there's going to be room for her son. Don't matter. Like, when I say it's room for you, it's room for him, and it's room for her. So she ain't even got to worry about that. And that's what my tribe means to me. That's what my family means to me. You know, I remember when she was sick, and I'm like, oh, my God, I got to come down there and see about you. I got to come. No, she's like, no, that's too much for you to do. You gotta take care of you. And I'm like, no, I can't lose nobody else. I just can't. Well, I gotta go see about my friend. Well, if you're not doing good tomorrow, then I'm coming. Like, I'm going to the hospital. So, well, you just better call me and let me know. So, you know, it just, you're right. When you find people like that, you take care of them and you love them and you love on them. And
you tell them all the time. I tell them all the time.
Yeah. Like, when she told me when I didn't call her, it was like that time I didn't call her for about 3 or 4 days, she was like, look, you know, she was upset, and I listened, and I didn't used to do that. Like, I'd be like, yeah, whatever, but I hear her, and I respect it.
Yep, that's our Facebook pages, too.
Yeah.
I will look at your Facebook page to make sure you're all right, so I know I need to cut your ass out when I talk to you. That's what I do. I'm like, bitch,
yeah.
I see you okay on Facebook, so I know you're alive, so I guess that's all I get. They make
a
start calling you.
Yeah.
My concern was always that if something ever happened to me, I didn't want my friends to wonder how I felt about them.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I started, about 30 years ago, I started telling my friends I love them at the end of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very funny because some of them were like, okay.
Like, why?
You know, they didn't say it right away. They were wondering what happened to me. And then there were others that just said it immediately. But now all of my friends say it. Sometimes they say it before me.
Yeah.
And it's a good
sometimes
feeling.
You
got
to break them down. But you can break them down.
Yeah.
Because I was one, our one member, Mr. Hopkins, my son, Mr. Hall, they were so hard over me, like military over me. I broke them down. Basically, by the time I got done with them, they were giving me pillow hugs, goodbye hugs, love you. My uncle still say, yeah. But he say it back sometimes. Sometimes he keeps saying that. He goes, yeah. I love you every fucking day. Every day. I say it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They know. We're not going to never think about, did Erica love me? Yes, she, Miss Swing love
yeah.
me. She loves me.
That's,
I know she does. No matter what, she going to love me.
Yep.
That's it.
I tell my brother that. He's like, what happened to you? Who hurt you? I'm like, no, I'm just telling you I love you. You're my brother. I'm just trying to make sure nobody do that to you. Sure. Yes, I'm positive. I love you. You're my brother. My God. Seriously. Nobody beat me up and destroyed me. Yeah. You sick, you die. You all right? Yes, I'm fine. I just love you. Shit. Well, wow.
Y'all friend used to say to me, okay, what you want me to buy you now?
Oh, no.
I'm not going to say I'm no loan for you. No, I just love you, shit. Hey, I ain't got no money. This is all my
life.
Just know it, okay? I arch you.
Oh, my God. I don't want... What you want to buy? What you going to buy now? What are you going to do? What projects have you come up with now? What are you spending? Because when you come talking about, baby, I love you. You know how much I love you. You just buttering me up, and I know I'm going to have to spend some damn money.
Yeah,
At least you know the family, though. It's easy to work on friends. But Max loves you. And I know 100% Max loves you. So I'm like, oh. I was like, oh.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. But, yeah, you see those people. I say it, too, now. I catch myself. And I guess that's why I just wind up mothering people. It's just my nature. So for me to say, hey, did you eat today? that's just me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, it's just who I am. It's just
it's
how I
love
care. Yeah.
That's
love is my love language. Like, cooking is my love language. I love to cook for people, you know. I don't like cooking for myself, but I love cooking for other people.
It's awesome to cook for other people and watch them eat. Watch them
eat.
Yes. I want to hear something. I love my God brother, like, that's why I hate you cook stuff. You always want to know what happened, well, how food tasted out. I'm like,
yes.
What? That's why I like when you cook stuff and you sit there and watch people eat. I just want to make sure you're enjoying it. God.
Exactly.
Like you pointed to the something. Like I watched it, like I poisoned it or something. Like, but I just want to make sure you're enjoying your food.
Exactly.
Are you so suspicious?
Yeah.
Well, I have to admit,
I
like being cooked for.
Yeah.
See? I would love to
cook.
We come in
the
house, we're
going
to have some food.
My last five relationships were all cooks. So I haven't had to cook for a really long time. Yes.
Oh, I would love to do the show.
I was very blessed.
I would love it.
You
are pretty.
Very
blessed. You eat and the food look pretty. You got to eat boozy food every day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
good. Fix me a bougie hot dog, please.
Mm-hmm.
I want smiling faces on my chili. I want a smiling face in my name.
Oh, my gosh. Like, during the pandemic, we couldn't go out because that was our thing. That was going out, trying different foods. And so I started doing, that's when charcuterie boards got really popular. And charcuterie boards, they were called. And I started doing charcuterie boards for me and Michael.
And what is that?
It's like meat and cheese and crackers and little doodads. And you put it all on this big wooden board or whatever you want to put it on. And you serve it up to the person, and then y'all just sit there and eat it. Charcuterie board.
Oh, bougie snacks. Look, bougie snacks.
Okay, thank you.
A
bougie
snack tray.
That's what he called it.
That's
exactly what he called it.
A bougie snack tray.
Yeah. A bougie snack tray. And every time.
And sometimes it has dips on it, too. The dips on.
Yes. They are gorgeous.
There are a lot of work from the ones that I've seen. I have a friend who, she can make anything look beautiful on a plate, and she's been doing those boards also. I don't know if
I can
do.
Not.
I
love
no.
it. Yeah.
I
it
like
took me
I
while.
My food up. It's horrible.
I have to show y'all some pictures of my charcuterie boards that I did.
There's some pictures of the tray of your cake when you make them too, so I can suck my mouth to water while I look.
I think you just go to Sasha's house and let her cook for us. What?
Come on.
Ain't nothing
come
but
on
a
now.
Ticket.
Come on. How long are you staying?
When we knock on the door, look, when me and Beauty knock on the door, I like you all want to answer.
You said, look now.
I see you peeking around the corner. We see you peeking around the corner, Sasha. We see you.
I want some sweet potato cornbread, so I'm putting that out there first.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet
okay.
potato cornbread.
Please don't say anything about
it.
I'm supposed to cook.
I'm supposed to cook my best friend.
We ain't gonna have it, beauty. It ain't gonna be there. You'll have some excuses. What had happened was, well, I tried to make it.
Right.
Now, we'll wait. There you go. That's stupid, all the way up here. We'll wait.
In the booth, there's that cornbread. Oh, and I have got this year. I have got to make my friend. I told her. I have been telling her ever since last Thanksgiving that I was gonna make her that sweet potato pound cake. And whenever I tell her that I'm thinking about making a cake for somebody else, she cusses me out. I don't want to hear a damn thing about no cake.
All right. I would too. Got me waiting.
Yes, I'm a hater.
Why do I want to call it cornbread? I do not know why I do that.
It is
a cake, and then there is sweet potato cornbread.
Is it moist?
There are two different recipes.
OMG.
One is a cornbread, and one is a cake.
I want them both.
I'll put my order in for both.
I want them both. Yes.
That's the thing. I want one of my own. I ain't sharing.
Which one are you going to try?
Both?
Both?
I ain't sharing.
Because, I mean, seriously.
So you're going to need to make both. You're going to need to make both. Because
somebody's not. I want both. I want one of each.
Oh, my God. That's a lot.
You shouldn't have brought it up.
Yep.
So,
I need to snack something on the plane home. Y'all live there. I have to go home. Do you want me to eat peanuts?
I need
peanuts with the sweet potato bread and...
Well, she got to eat half of the roll. She got to eat half of the roll to survive, and then the rest when she get home.
Right.
Then, but she ain't got to eat half of the roll to survive.
He's swinging
the shit.
Fill up the whole ride.
Will.
That way you will not be hungry.
No, you won't.
He's going to hit up the restaurant.
I'm just saying, I made that sweet potato pound cake last year for Thanksgiving for my friend. She invited me to her house for Thanksgiving dinner, and I made that cake from scratch. I ain't talking about no box. This is like sifted flour, sugar.
Wow.
You got to sift out. You got to measure out the baking soda and the baking powder.
You love doing that, so we'll take both.
That's what I'm saying.
When you talk about it, I can feel your passion. So we'll take both.
I think you'd be mothered.
That's nurturing. That's a lot of nurturing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let a flight attendant reach in my package.
Put all your love into that cake.
Y'all back enough.
Y'all back enough.
For all your love.
Anybody
okay, y'all come up here for Thanksgiving. Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah. Come on.
That one ain't
got to
cook.
That might work, I can also go visit my cousin who moved down there.
Yeah, come on. I'll get the house ready, and y'all come on for Thanksgiving, and I'll do some cooking. I'll cook for y'all. Yay!
You hear that?
We'll do the show on location.
And it's recording.
And we're here in the same room, motherfuckers. I'll even set the dining room table for y'all.
What?
Mm-hmm. Like grown folks?
Dining room table.
Yep, I'll set the dining room table for y'all.
I haven't even seen my dining room table in so long. I just sit there to do stuff. That's it. Then I see. I really don't eat there.
My body is telling me the puzzle. I'm doing a puzzle right now, so that's where my puzzle is.
That's all the whole thing is doing for now.
Mine
they're
is
doing
kitchen,
stuff all like writing something.
Yeah, it catches everything. Like,
yeah,
like right
in the living
now,
room and the bedroom.
It's
oh,
got mail.
My desk catches everything.
Yep.
That's in my bedroom. My bedroom desk catches everything. I try to keep, like, at least 3 rooms of my house spotless.
I don't even know. One room of my house stays clean 100%. Everything else is messy.
I just finished my
at least
spring
I know
cleaning.
Where everything is.
I just finished spring cleaning, but my desk still looks like, yeah, looks like my desk has stuff on it.
Well, lucky you. You spring clean.
I haven't done that in like 10 years, so it needed it.
Yeah. It's like,
I'm trying.
It was like me and Michael had did some cleaning and got rid of some stuff, and now all of a sudden it's just like, there's more stuff.
I just accumulate. Wherever I have a table or a desk or something like that, it's full of stuff. I always, like behind me, my window box, behind my couch, it's always full. So every time I clean it off, I'll put one cup there. Then a book will go there. And then something else go there. Something else go there. I'm like, God damn it. Before you know it, it's full of the table, living room. I put one bottle there. And then I put something else there. It's like, before you know it, it's cluttered. So I gotta finally get in the habit of not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's my desk.
Okay,
but it's neatly cluttered. You can find everything.
Yeah. You can go right to it. But it's right there in front of your eyes every day.
Yep.
And people call it dust, but I call it organized chaos.
That's what I call it, too.
In the dark, you can find what you need. You can walk right to it. Everybody else can trip over, but you can walk right to it and grab that book.
Walk right to it.
Like, it's flat.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is a minefield, but you can navigate that minefield because it's yours.
Exactly. So, but I try to keep the living room clean.
Mine is kind of clean. I have a bed. I was sleeping in the living room tonight. I got the blow-up bed, so I'm in the living room tonight. Just enjoying the living by myself. I feel like I'm at a hotel now. This is so sad. Look, I'm telling everybody in the world how sad I am. I'm at a hotel right now. I'm at a spa. I have the world beneath my feet.
Oh, God.
I gotta go back to my bedroom tomorrow.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Lord. Well,
oh, my God.
That's like yesterday. Well, I now have 2 fans in my bedroom, including my ceiling fans, just to keep me cool.
Well, whatever works. Whatever works.
Hell yeah, feel like you're a typhoon feeling good. You got air coming in every direction.
It was so cold in that last night.
I love being that cold and shivering under a blanket. But that you know.
That's what I do. That's what I do.
Yeah,
I air conditioning turns on in my fan.
Oh my God. And I'm sitting here thinking now, I can't wait to get back. I mean, I'm
going to be so loud. She can't hear shit outside. You don't know what's going on outside. She will never know. Did you just hear fast?
All I heard was, that's all I heard.
Look at the shoot outside.
you know, the shootout, the only house that would hit was yours. You're like, I don't know, I don't understand.
It was a what?
And man, it was right outside your window. Was it behind the fan? I don't know. They got shit to do with me.
It was. Didn't hear nothing. Three fans going. And what's so bad is they're like right close up on me too. But I didn't have no hot flashes.
No, mm-hmm. It's your booty. Your hot flashes away. Now, if they were around, you was hot, but you wouldn't. But you did well.
I sure did. Loved it. Loved it. Okay. So
I'm cool as hell right now because the living room is the coolest room in my house. So, shit, I'm living the dream.
When I go back over there in that typhoon, don't call me something because I can't.
You don't get a phone ring anyway. And if you did, I would tell you shit you were saying. Hey, what?
I said, hey,
what? And then she still won't turn them off so we can hear her better.
Don't wait.
Hell, we'll talk tomorrow.
I can talk to you later. Just text me. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Just text me. I cannot turn off my fans. Three fans in the room. But it was heaven. It was heaven. It was heaven, I tell you. But anyway, so I wanted to give a shout-out to a guest that we had, David Ponder II. He has now got his book, I Ponder, in a bookstore in Greenbrier Mall in Atlanta.
Yes, congratulations.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great news. That is really great news.
Yes, I thought it was too. I was like, yay! So, congratulations.
Did you buy a copy?
For that, huh?
Did you buy a copy?
No, I haven't. It's two books I got to buy a copy of. It's also, she was on the poetry show as well, Jazzy Uncontrollable Goddess.
Okay.
She has a book out, and in her book of poetry is based on the rap song of Tupac Shakur. Now don't ask me the name of it. I can't remember the name of it. Let me see if I can find it. Hopefully I can find it right quick and tell y'all the name of it. But that was one.
Google him then.
Yeah, I had to unlock my phone. I have one of those phones that it automatically locked.
Yeah,
I guess
I have one phone.
But her book came out, I think it was April. I think she did her book herself. She published it herself. So she is a self-published author. And her name is Jazzy Uncontrolled Goddess. Uncontrollable Goddess.
Okay.
She was on the Sasha Playpen show in February. She was one of the poets on the show. And so was Dave Ponder. So Uncontrolled Goddess, she's out of Michigan. Okay, the name of her book, Uncontrolled Goddess, her poetry book is called Life Goes On. It's poetry inspired by Tupac Shakur. So she's doing a countdown for the birthday of Tupac Shakur.
Okay.
Which is this week, the 16th.
Okay.
The 16th is Tupac Shakur's birthday. It's also someone else's birthday. I'll let you all guess whose birthday it is. It would be.
What day?
June 16th.
Isn't that your birthday?
No. Close.
My
no.
birthday.
Yep.
Michael.
Really? Yeah. Really? Well,
uh-huh.
Yeah. This is June 16th, and July 16th.
What?
Yeah, I'll be 50.
Yours is July 16th?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you did say that. But yeah. How the hell?
A fabulous 50.
So, Mike was June 16th. Yours is July, and mine is August.
Wow.
How did that happen?
It was meant to happen.
Yeah. So, that are the two books. But that's the book by Uncontrolled Goddess. Uncontrollable Goddess. No, Uncontrolled Goddess. Uncontrolled, her name is Jazzy Uncontrolled Goddess, and the name of her book is Life Goes On, and it is inspired by Tupac Shakur. And Dave Ponder, the second, his book name is I Ponder. And you can also, if you can't make it to Greenbrier Mall at one of the oldest bookstores, black-owned bookstore that he has his book in, and it's called Madua. I think it's called Madua's Bookstore. Madua Bookstore. They're celebrating 32 years in business. It's the oldest African-American owned bookstore, and it's in Greenbrier Mall. That's in Atlanta, Georgia, off of Greenbrier Parkway Southwest. I've been to Greenbrier Mall like twice in my life. The first time I went there, I was searching for a prom dress. The second time I went there, I snuck off to skip school with one of my friends.
We hot and fast.
Me and my friend skipped school. She was scared to death. I was like, girl, stop being so damn scary and come on. Let's go. We are seniors in high school. Let's go. Oh, my God. She's like, I'm going to get in trouble. No, you're not.
Yeah, and then you're grown.
Exactly. Exactly. So we went to the mall. We got there. We're in the court, in the food court, and then all of a sudden there is a shootout at the mall, and the news station is there, and in the background, they caught my friend's car as we were speeding away.
That was my hook. That's what we get
for
leaving and skipping school.
Yep. And she said, I'm in so much trouble. And by the time we got home, and then, of course, we call ourselves having cell phones, but that's when they had them big-ass flip
phones. Cell phones.
Big ass BlackBerry. Yeah, big ass phone. Well, we got in trouble for skipping school. But those are the only two times I've ever been to Greenbrier Mall.
And I know why.
Yeah.
Went past it once during Freaknik.
Freaknik.
Is that movie still coming out, or did they stop it?
It's coming.
Oh, it is coming out.
Hulu. Oh, you know it's coming to Hulu.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's coming to Hulu.
Yeah, somebody, mom and daddy gonna have a lot of explaining with this.
Girl. I bet they didn't know. Well, nobody knew that they were going to be on Hulu in their later years.
Ooh. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
how you going to recognize somebody from 1995? Like, no,
This is you, mother. And
no.
I don't remember names, but I remember faces. If I've seen someone, I remember you.
Mm. Oh, so you like that, huh? Okay.
But you look just like me when I was 15, so I know it's you.
And then there's that.
Are you sure? It ain't me. It's 1990. It's you.
Well, I was down there. Like, this is so embarrassing.
Did that you get down in the corner, Mom? That's your TV.
No, I'm not going to be on TV. Yeah, we were down there. That was the last year that they did Freak Me. And so... That's when they came out with that damn blue loop, the police, and they taking you through the AU center where all the colleges are downtown. And so they had this thing called the blue loop. And we were stuck in traffic the whole time. So we didn't get to see a whole lot of stuff. And a lot of that stuff that happened that they're talking about in this documentary, that happened, like, later on when the sun was getting ready to go down. By that time, we was gone from the city, honey. So, me and my best friend. We're going to go to Atlanta. We're going to go to the Freaknik. Honey, my mother said, how the hell you are?
She knew what was going on at the Freaknik. It ain't Freaknik for nothing. I wonder how many babies were made at Freaknik.
We was like, but why we can't? All right, Mama, why
Who's
can't
a freak, am I a Freaknik baby? Yes, you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Freaknik baby.
So my mama went to a freak meet with us.
And I was weird. She is running around, but she was freaking me out the dog.
We was stuck in traffic. Just kept riding around this damn circle. Just kept riding around. So we bought T-shirts. Dudes was selling T-shirts. We bought T-shirts. My mom is out there haggling with the dudes. He's like, $25. And my mom is like, ain't nobody paying you no damn $25 for this shirt, honey.
The hell it is.
The hell?
You can have the life.
$25. And so he's like,
I'm
a young guy out here. Don't worry about it. What got me, though, was how many niggas was just, they were just like macking my mama. Like, dudes like, what's up, mom? What's up? Yeah, you fine. They was giving
buy
my
me
mother
a t-shirt.
They was giving her.
And mom, you don't get your ass in this damn car.
Yes. Well, now she wasn't doing all that now. But she was just being herself. And they were just like, you know, hey. But I had one of them cool moments.
I had the courage to go to this shit.
I had a cool mom, though. So.
My mother lame if they come. She was a running straight-based mother.
My
house
like,
is the cool house.
Yours was the what?
The cool house. I always had people by. My house was full of people every night.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because my mom worked nights.
I have a friend in the house.
Yeah, my mom worked nights, so. But there were still rules that had to happen for people to be there, but I had people at the house every night.
Ooh!
Yep.
So you had friends. I did not have friends like that when I was young.
I have been blessed. I have many friends, many, many, many friends. But
private school or anything.
I call them acquaintances. I have acquaintances.
Yeah.
There's very few.
See,
people
my brother was popular as fuck. Both my brothers were popular as fuck, and I was not. I'm like, how did this get me? But now I'm popular. Now I'm popular.
You were just a little bloomer, that's all.
Yep.
A very late bloomer. A 40s late bloomer. But better bloom than not to bloom.
Yeah, I didn't bloom until I got into college. I didn't have a lot of friends. And then when I moved to Atlanta,
like that, huh? Okay.
I think it would have been different if I had grown up in Atlanta. Because, like, it's always something to do there. That's one thing I realized. No matter what time it is, there's always something to do in Atlanta. You just got to know where it is.
Exactly. The
fun underbelly. Because the underbelly is fun. I was like, it's semi-underbelly, but it was fun as fuck.
That underbelly gets you, though.
Yeah, things you never thought was club is a club. No matter what it is, it's a club at night. Like, goddamn.
Yeah.
What we doing at the grocery store? It's a club now. What we doing at the restaurant? It's a club now. Like, goddamn. Everything is club now?
Yeah, it's a club now. Yeah, because on Candler Road, it used to be a Red Lobster, and they called it Club Red Lobster.
Yeah, no matter what, it's a club now.
It's a club now.
I'm like, goddamn. You put in the parking lot. Why are these cars? It's a club now. What is it in the daytime? A fancy eatery. What?
Or a laundromat.
You get Mexicans, Jamaicans. Yeah, everything is a club.
Mm-hmm.
You get the head to the back. And it's a club. You get up in that motherfucker. You go in there, it's a swinger club. You see beds everywhere. Just giant, queen-size beds. And they're just stacked by each other. And it's in it at night.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow.
Or
you can't never say you're bored.
The swinger places that used to get me were the all-white neighborhood subdivision.
Yeah, those are the best parties. Those are the best parties. Because you get to see what a mansion look like on the inside. The mansion parties and shit. I mean, like, wow. You can't get there in the daytime, but you can go there at night.
Mm-hmm.
I only went to one party like that.
What you
say?
I haven't either.
I went to a party like that, but it was out of state, and it was in a three-family house, and all three floors, including the basement, were filled with different themes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You got the BDSM room, the glow-in-the-dark room, where you get all black rooms. All you have is, like, if you got a band on your arm and or the rings or whatever, it's like, so much fun. Glory hole room.
The black room there.
Yes. Then you got the spectators. Then you got a whole, like in the foyer, it's just a big round place, big round spot, and then everybody can just walk around, and there's all, you can do like a show. And then you can just sit there and watch people all the time. Just like, ooh.
Yeah, the voyeurism room, you can watch BDSM being done. You can watch the trains being done.
See, I'm not as vanilla as you think I am.
We'll see. There's like a whole new world when you walk in there for the first time. It's like, what?
Yeah, it sure is.
You never thought existed.
It sure is.
So it changed my life. The first time I went, I was vanilla as fuck. I was vanilla ice cream with nothing on it. And I walked in that room and something was kind of, he just burst it. It was like, what?
I might be vanilla, but I ain't that vanilla.
I don't even like vanilla.
I was like super vanilla. I didn't. Well, I did strip and stuff like that, but because I was a BBW stripper for a while, I just did stuff to try it out. But I had never tried it. I didn't even try that swim. So it was like a date night. But why the dude took me there for our first date, I don't know. But once we got in there,
that was
first date. You hadn't even kissed or nothing. You just took me there. And he was like, oh, I got to tell you, it's a swingers club. I was like, a what? A swingers club? You know I'm talking about a swingers club. I'm like, a what? And once I got in there, everyone was like, this is your first time, right? I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. And so they just took me on a tour. I saw a big, gigantic bowl full of condoms. And it was like stuff everywhere. It was like food, a whole smorgasbord of food. They had a bar, stripper pole bed. I saw a BDSM room. I saw a couple do it going there. His guy brought his wife there. And I saw his wife get a train done on her. I saw a whole line of dudes leave to this man, one wife. I was like, wow. I was not offended at all. And that's why I knew this was my word. I was like, these are my people. I'm like, wow, this is a whole new world. So for my 40th birthday, that's when I start going to the parties. Because then my homegirl was like, what are we going to do for your birthday? I said, we can throw a swinger party. And she was like, a what? So I explained it to her. And she went with it. So that's when I started swinger parties. And I also did my first dominatrix session with this guy. Well, we had left a party one time, and he just saw me in a pizza place in Atlanta. He was like, are you a dominatrix? I'm like, I should be. So he owned a complex. So we went behind a complex before his work. He said, my work don't get here till 6. I said, you own this place? He said, yeah, my work don't get here till 6. So I dominated him outside the parking lot. He stripped naked. Tied a leash around his penis and had me move around there. So I was like, this is my new world.
What would you like to get?
I was approved. I didn't know I was approved, but, you know, this stuff just fit me like a glove. And I'm still doing it now. Things that should fight me don't fight me. So I guess this is my world now. Try it just once and see if you like it. And if it's something you feel good about, you know, just do it. As long as it ain't hurt nobody. And I made $50 that night.
Well.
All right, all right.
That's what I said.
Get out of here. You know, this is like your year. This is 2024 going to be your year. Make some determinations and do it when the opportunity comes up. The opportunity may come up and you're too scared to try it. The opportunity come up, try it.
Oh, I have no problem with that at all. I just unfortunately was with someone who wasn't on the same level. And I don't say unfortunate because it wasn't. Anyways, I'm not going to explain all that. I'm just going to say this. I was the least vanilla. I was the least vanilla of the couple.
Yeah,
I can't imagine. You have a very soothing voice that you can convince people to do stuff. That's how your voice sounds. You like you just convince them you can do this.
Well, thank you.
You have a soothing, convincing voice.
Thank you.
And Sasha has her cute little baby voice that I know can go to Eve like this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what a lot of people think. A lot of people think that I am very unassuming and I'm very quiet and I'm, you know, I am the last living good girl.
She's the last container of vanilla ice cream.
But you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Vanilla ice cream got some swirls in there.
And some sprinkles.
Vanilla ice cream with some swirls in it.
Got a little nuts.
And I've always had a phone sex voice. Everybody always said for years I had a phone sex voice, but I had never done phone sex before. But then when I started,
there she is again.
Yep. Like, when I get the neck of something, I'm like, this is my world. Sex sells. It has always been like, for me, for when I used to see domination on television, I think I always thought that domination was the sexiest women in the world.
They are.
Because they can look like a little, they can look like whatever and control your ass, lift your ass, all that. So when I did it myself, it was like, wow.
It's definitely.
You don't get fucked.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a power rush.
And it's not about sex.
That's
the best part about it. It's about sex,
no.
But it's not about sex.
No.
Because I don't let you look at me. I don't let you touch me. Mm-hmm. None of that shit. You're lucky enough to whatever. No, you don't look at me. You don't touch me.
You're lucky enough to breathe my air. Oh.
Oop. Exactly.
Oops. Did I say
and
that?
And they love hearing that.
Damn,
and
now you're both
on so much. Like, you're a worthless piece of shit. And I roast your ass so bad. It's like, you're still an orgasm through the phone. Like, damn. And I just freed myself from a whole day worth of burdens. I had a bad day in the grocery store, not no more.
At first, I had a hard time doing that degradation. But then when I got into it,
Yeah, you ain't doing fantasy to film it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sometimes I feel back in and out. You know, you having a bad time. So I can tell, you can always tell who will like it when you cuss them out.
Yep.
So I don't even like you for free no more. I'm going to be nice to you.
Yep.
I feel like this turning you on. Now I'm going to shit away for free. So you have a nice day.
All right, now.
Yeah, you have to know how to market yourself, definitely. If you want to do that kind of stuff. But I, you know, small town, too many people talk, too many people have too much to say, and they be all up in your business. If I still lived in Atlanta.
Then they'll get the dog.
Yeah. If I still lived in the city, there's no telling
you. Don't think about Atlanta. It really don't matter in Atlanta. Because there's so much to do. You can fit in anyway. That's what I did like about it, but...
And nobody has to know you. And, you know, in Atlanta, nobody has to know. It's big enough. It's big, but at the same time, it's small. It's getting small. It's getting really small. It's too commercialized now. But at one time when I was living there in 2000, in the early 2000s. It wasn't like that, and you could be your anonymity was very, it was good. You could do a lot of things, and nobody knew your name.
Now you both the same.
There were red light districts and shit. You don't even have red light districts where you can just go invisible now. Everything is, everybody want to be seen. Everybody got camera phones. So you can't have that privacy you've always wanted back in the day.
Closest I've been to that is I went on a trip to Canada, and I went to a sex that had shopping carts.
Mm-hmm.
Like big old shopping carts. The shelves were like stories. I had never seen anything like that in my life.
Yep.
Wow. That must actually be free there, right?
Yes, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard.
It's also
had, like,
weird prevalent in Germany and Amsterdam.
I want to go to Amsterdam.
Yeah, I would like
That's
to just
talk
to
them
and make contact mm-hmm. off the spoke.
Yep.
I'll be up for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't think I can live anywhere where it's legal, like 100% legal.
You could?
You'd never see me again. Where is she? Oh, she's back in the house.
I'm going to never leave the house for real then. I had my shit delivered.
That's what I'm saying. Never leave the house.
Wow. Yeah. I would just like to visit Amsterdam. Get some
weed.
Get a waffle. Get a waffle. Get some weed. And go to one of their sex shops. Same way in Canada. Eh?
Yeah, Canada. I was like a child in a, I don't know, candy store. It was amazing. They had
I heard that Toronto.
Let's go up there.
I heard that Toronto has a very large red light district.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was
beautiful. So you just walk around and just feel free to do whatever.
Mm. But their health care is better, too.
Yeah.
Because
that was just a joke.
And like for intravenous drug users, they have needle depositories and all that kind of stuff.
The treatment where you just go and get your high in a safe environment.
Yep.
And then go on if I feel like, and they don't have that many overdoses and stuff.
Nope.
Because they care.
Yeah, they do that here in New York.
Yep. Not that I'm glorifying, I'm just saying. It's better if you can go get high and know that you're in a safe place and your needles are
mm-hmm.
clean.
A clean needle.
You're getting clean
and
needles.
You don't
have
right
to worry about STIs.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
I mean,
and they're right there with the Narcan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a documentary on that. They don't OD as much. They come in, they're healthier. They
mm-hmm.
make sure they eat. They make sure they have something. So, you know, mm-hmm. they don't have a lot of robbery. They don't have a lot of crime because of drug-related crime. Because they don't need to. There's no need. And they get the good stuff. They don't have to worry about getting bad hit. It's a lot better. Because they care.
Mm-hmm. But now they need to do something about caring about the indigenous people in Canada. But that's a whole
mm-hmm.
conversation.
That's a mess.
That's
it's a
whole
mess.
Other conversation. Okay. So, I need to make I forgot about the announcement. I did one. Also, I did, I got some feedback about, I'll share it off the air with you ladies. I got some feedback from the questionnaire that I put out. I got some of those back. I also wanted to let everyone know that after the end of June, Night Talks with Sasha, we will be taking summer vacation, and we will be back probably, hopefully, sometime in August. So we're going to take the month of July off so that me and the ladies can enjoy our summer and get out and be out and about and just rest a little bit. So just stay prepared for that. Just know that after June, the show will go on hiatus for a month and we'll be back. I'm still working on I'm trying to get Tasha Fields. Tasha Fields is a supersized BBW, and she runs this group called Juicy Peaches that's on Facebook. And she also is doing a, if you are a supersized woman or man and you have never flown before and you want to learn about the ins and outs of how to fly, or even just know that you can fly on a plane, she has a group online about that. So we're trying to get her on the air, and hopefully by next week sometime, I will get her on the air and we can talk about Juicy Peaches and what that is and who they are and who we are and what we're doing. So that's coming up. The menopause show still ain't got nobody but one person. So, oh well. Come on there, y'all. Really. Come on now. Y'all know, then I will. You want to know and you need to know about menopause. So let's just talk about it. Let's have an open and honest discussion. No one's going to bash. It's not about bashing. It's not about any of that. It's about learning. So if you have went through menopause, if you are going through menopause, help out your younger sisters that are on the epitome of going through that, on the, you know, the
beginning. The foreword.
Oh.
Initializing stage.
My
tongue
got tied up. I couldn't get none of that out. I sound like Elma Fudd.
That's just how horrible it is.
Exactly. That's why I'm sleeping with two fans, three fans. Anyway. So y'all come on and let's talk about menopause. Like, yeah, we need to talk about this. So if you are interested and you want to be a part of the discussion, come on, y'all. Like, don't make me have to go out here and call nobody name. Because I will.
She will.
Mm-hmm. I just go out here and call some people up. Be like, honey, come on here and talk about this with me, okay? Because I need some help. So, go to the email, nighttalkswithsasha69@gmail.com. Now, don't be worried about what the 69 is for or what it's implying. It's just two numbers at the end. Star 69. Just don't worry about that. Just email me. And let's just talk about it. Okay? Okay. That's that. Anyway, y'all got any announcements? Anything y'all want to talk about?
No, ma'am.
Nope, nothing that I can think of.
Okay. Well, that's that then. So we have just talked about, we didn't talk about Tina Turner, and we didn't talk about Prince, and he was 65 years old this week.
I miss him.
Happy birthday.
I just love him. I'm so sad I never got to see him perform live.
Oh, no. That's a shame.
He
is an incredible entertainer. Incredible.
Yeah.
I've seen him quite a few times.
Oh, wow.
And
he's
loving it. An ageless beauty.
And when I heard, okay, I'm going to be honest with y'all, and then I'm going to get y'all off the air because I know y'all ready to go. When I heard them say that Tina Turner had died, honestly, at first, I heard it, and I was like, will y'all please stop putting that poor woman in the ground? And
she wasn't supposed to die. She wasn't supposed to die.
I knew she was coming.
I knew she was sick. But she's one of those people that you just never expect to actually go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
her
you kept hearing, they had those, you know how they'll have those things about celebrities,
all
this celebrity had died already, and they had, they did Tina Turner like that.
They did?
Yeah.
Yeah, she had died a few times.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and so when I
had that like 5 or 10 times.
Yeah, so when I first heard it again, I didn't believe it. Like, will they please, why do they do that? And then this time
I knew it was true. Yeah, I knew it was true because I checked my boobies website, and she was a nature of boobies like me. So I knew she had that. I'm like, wow. I'm like, she
had
an awesome life. She did.
Yeah. She had a great life. Well, we love Miss Tina. You are Miss.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she was cremated, and she was helping Ireland.
Mm.
Oh, well, she was cremated?
I think she was cremated, yeah. So she ain't going to be buried. I think she's going to be cremated.
Mm.
I know she had made her preparations and stuff.
Well, all right, ladies, we're going to be cut off any second now.
Yeah, we are. So
yes, ma'am, we got to go log in. That's the work. Make the donut.
Okay, make the donut.
Well, you going to make the cake and pie. Yeah, please.
Make the cake. Please the cake.
Bye, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Good
love
night.
You.
Good night, y'all. Have a good weekend.
Good night.